The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Welcome back, folks. Talking to Vera Sharav, S-H-A-R-A-V. Okay, Vera, you're saying some horrific things, and the worst part is they're true. So you're saying that the governor of New York knew what he was doing. Did he do this to save money? Did he do it because he hated Donald Trump and didn't want to give Trump credit by using the hospital ships? Why do you think Cuomo would do something like this?
I guess all of the above. People are motivated by multiple issues. And look, at the same time, he concealed the number of deaths. And he lied to the public.
Well, do you think he's going to get in trouble for this? I mean, this is like, you know, the Nuremberg trials. I mean, people say, I was just following orders. I was just,
exactly.
I mean.
No. First of all, he's the one deciding. Secondly, you brought up the Nuremberg Code. Nuremberg, there are going to be quite a few lawsuits using the Nuremberg Code, yes.
What is the Nuremberg Code?
At the end of World War II, there were trials held at Nuremberg for the war criminals.
For the surviving Nazis.
One of the trials, though, was a doctor's trial. And that trial revealed to the world in detail the horrific medical experiments that were conducted throughout the war. And the end of that trial, the judges, who were American jurists, and they had prominent doctors as who advised them as to what is medically ethical. And they came up with 10 principles, the Nuremberg Code, the very first foremost principle is the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. No ifs, buts, or maybes. The Nuremberg Code is the most important medical ethics law. It is international. It holds, it's in effect in wartime and peacetime. It crosses borders. It is not just one country.
Although obviously folks like the Chinese Communist Party are not going along with the Nuremberg Code.
True. But the main thing is that the trial held doctors accountable for what they did.
Right.
This doesn't happen here. You don't have public health officials on trial for the death of 1,000 people.
Are you trying to change that?
It would be nice. just think about, in other words, what I'm trying to explain to people is that when a doctor is not a private doctor, just your, this is what trust.
He doesn't have your best interest at
heart. No, he doesn't.
He has the state interest at heart.
That's right.
And his career.
And more, they've pushed doctors out of private practice into hospitals. Well, when a doctor is on a hospital practice lineup, he has no professional judgment allowable to him. He must follow the protocols that he's dictated to. Whatever drugs he's supposed to prescribe, that's what he must prescribe and not something else. He must decide what the diagnostic criteria for this or that disease
is. Okay, so if I'm in a hospital and I have COVID and I say, give me hydrochloroquine.
Yes.
They say no.
That's right.
Why?
They're not allowed to.
Why?
They simply are forbidden by dictate. This is the point. It is a very, in other words, we lose our doctor when they join a hospital. Now, there's another thing about it. Obamacare and all that, it was supposed to lower the costs, right? Guess what? They're skyrocketing because, of course, once you're treated by a doctor who's affiliated with a hospital, the charge is 10 times more than what he was charging you when he just had his office. So the thing is very much rigged from above.
Now, is this left-leaning Democrats who are behind this? Who's behind this push?
I think that we need to sort of forget the two-party system because whoever is in the White House, that party gets the bigger checks from industry. Pharmaceutical industry and the big tech industries, those are the ones that are really running things. They have what they call public-private partnerships. Public-private partnerships means the government is a partner with an industry. Once that happens, that right. partnership, what they do is shielded from public oversight. But guess who's paying the bills? We are.
Okay. Was Trump aware of this? Was he trying to do anything? I got the impression that he knew, that he kind of began to bump up against this stuff.
I'm sure he did, but I personally, and this is my opinion, I won't forgive him for Operation Warp Speed. Okay, that's his baby.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what's holding things up right now, the push for the vaccine.
Right.
And it's all secret. Again, public-private partnerships.
Okay.
Everything is secret. You cannot, but never mind the money, but what they all have complete immunity. Everybody, the manufacturers, the distributors, and those who are.
Well, when you say immunity, we know the FDA couldn't approve this. It was too quick. So
correct.
They say this is an experimental treatment.
Yes.
Because it's an emergency. Okay. Now, the idea to me, this is where I think Trump misunderstood and got on board with this, is that most of us who are not in the medical world, we don't really understand how these things work. So somebody says, we'll get a vaccine, great, great, great. What he did, of course, was put this on the fast track, which, you know, in the natural, you'd say, well, exactly, we need to just break the barriers and get it done. But what it became, it would be one thing if this thing was available as an emergency treatment for somebody who says, give me anything, I don't care.
Right.
I don't want to die.
Right.
Great. But they have pushed it as though everyone needs to get this quote-unquote vaccine. And common sense says, no, many of us would much rather get COVID. I would much rather get COVID than risk taking some crazy experimental thing. But everybody is talking about, quote unquote, getting the vaccine. And that's what happened.
Do you know when it started? I call it really a medical monopoly dictatorship. It began with the AIDS crisis. The AIDS activists wanted access to experimental drugs.
Right.
Fine. And they were right. They were dying. And they fought, and when that actually happened, it became every illness. You'd have advocacy groups that were funded by pharmaceutical companies
right.
who would insist that, they must have fast track, and so everything became fast track. You open the door, you know, and it becomes a big gate. No. Medical interventions. Look, the Greeks were very smart.
You know I'm Greek. You're not just saying that to flatter me. Go ahead.
Okay, no. I did. The Greeks, you know, they made a wannabe student of medicine swear to do no harm and a whole bunch of other things. They didn't let them into medical school before they swore they would not do harm and before they swore they would not divulge privacy.
So you're confidentiality. Talking like in the 4th century BC?
Yeah, and they...
How could they get that right? They were they don't know the Hebrew scriptures. They don't. Where do they get this from? It's fascinating. We're going to be right back. I'm going to continue to talk to Vera Sharov.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has 3 things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out.
Folks,
welcome back. Talking to Vera Sharov. Vera, we're talking about the vaccine, and we skipped over 60 years of your life, but that's okay. We can get back to that another time. So Trump fast-tracked these vaccines. Now, why is that a problem? In other words, to me, the problem is not that. The problem is that everybody's taking it. Everybody's being forced to take it. And you think, why? It's not some magic panacea. It's a reproductive. I mean, what's the term? It's a genetic
manipulation.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't even solve the problem. And we have no idea what the side effects would be, or we have no idea of anything. So, unless it's an emergency, I say this: why would somebody get it? I don't understand.
The fast tracking means there's no safety testing. That you should worry about. About any medicine, because when I mentioned the Greeks, the reason they made the student swear is because they knew that what you learn in medical school can be used to heal or to kill. That's why. And they didn't want you ever to use it to kill.
So 24 centuries ago,
yes,
the Greeks got it right. And pretty much we've been getting it right in the West for a long time, but something recently has changed.
Well, part of it has to do with the culture in medicine and public health. And that, in fact, does go back to the Germans. Germany was at the pinnacle in the 20s and 30s in medicine, science. Students, medical students, used to go to finish postdoctoral work in Germany.
Sure.
Now, one of the things about the German system is it's very hierarchical, authority-based. You do not question the professor, okay? And that has been true throughout medical school here.
So this affected medical culture.
Yes. The medical culture is such that you why does everybody listen to Anthony Fauci, for example, when he's been wrong and so, you know, flip-flops every other week? But he's the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease since 1984. That in itself is like...
Don't they have term limits? Throw the
exactly,
bum out.
Exactly. Well...
84?
Yes. Through the
That's
AIDS thing and all
as
that.
As long as Joe Biden has been in politics.
Correct.
Nothing's that long.
Well,
okay.
No, but it's that... It's... Yes. It's totally... You can't get it out. The point is a lot of money goes through those people.
Right.
The science of medicine now is controlled by the same monopoly because the journals, the publications, and the schooling, everything is with grants, either Bill Gates or government or pharma. Those are the ones that control the entire medical establishment.
I just have to interrupt. Literally yesterday, I read an article written by Nicholas Wade. He was for decades the chief science writer for the New York Times. He hasn't been with the Times since 2012.
Oh, wait, right. Mm-hmm.
He wrote an article yesterday. He posted it on his blog. Now, the Times, if they want a real Pulitzer, they should publish this. But in the article, Nicholas Wade, who's no kind of political partisan, talks about what happened with the Wuhan virus and how powers, got involved, and they basically said, we cannot let it be known that this probably was created in a lab by scientists and that it escaped from a lab and that they did not have protocols in place. This was not a safe lab. It wasn't one of the – we can't let that get out. Because we'll lose funding for our similar types of research. And so they signed letters. So scientists abandoned scientific principles, and then journalists abandoned journalistic principles, and they put forward the narrative that if you say this was created in a lab in Wuhan, you are pushing a conspiracy theory. In fact, the facts overwhelmingly point to the idea that it was not naturally occurring. It didn't come from the wet market or whatever they call it. But here you have Nicholas Wade, who's a true journalist, writing about this. Crickets. Nobody is talking about that.
There have been plenty of journalists in the alternative
media. Well, that's what I'm saying. In the alternative media.
In the alternative. Yeah. And the others won't touch it because it's so threatening. It threatens to pull the whole house of cards down. The question is why? Why? Why is the United States government funding gain of function?
That's what it's called.
Funny
gain
name,
of function.
Funny name, but yeah. It means lethal. Make it more lethal.
Well, yeah, it means more dangerous. So when they say gain of function, it's like, let's see what's out there in nature that's really nasty. Maybe we can make something even more nasty, but we'll keep it safe, but it'll help us to figure out how to deal with nasty stuff. Well, the nasty stuff got out of the lab and has killed millions and is worse than the deaths. It's created a cultural meltdown.
Yes.
Like Three Mile Island meltdown.
That's
where
right.
Nobody knows which way is up. Nobody knows what's going on. What are some of the parallels, just because I don't want to miss it, that you say that you saw growing up that you're seeing today? I know we're touching it already, but let's talk about that.
Well, the Germans mainly talked about the war, the enemies, and of course they had an economic meltdown there, after the Depression. It went on there for much longer because they were also punished for World War I. And they looked for scapegoats, who to blame. So that's one of the reasons Jews got in the way there. But it's holding the public in fear and constantly feeding them propaganda and not allowing any other voices. This is what's happening now here. The censorship, for example. Who the heck is – who are these fact checkers? These corporate people who simply are doing what they want and shutting debate completely.
Well, we cannot air this on YouTube because anytime we air anything like this, they give us strikes and then eventually they take us off. We lose a lot of money, which is why we need money. We lose a lot of money. And they are playing this game. And yeah, you wonder who sent out the memo. Is it Satan? Is it Bill Gates? Who is sending out these memos that these are the narratives that we're going to push? I mean, it's fascinating because the Third Reich only extended as far as the Third Reich.
I know.
Today, it's global.
There's another thing. This, in a way, you may want to use as far as ending, not in the middle, but I'll tell you anyway.
Yeah.
It's worse today. And coming from me, you can imagine, it's
well,
hard to say.
Well, a Jew who was in a concentration camp gets to say things like that. If you feel like it.
The reason I say that is because at that time, the Allied forces rescued whoever was left. There are no Allied forces today. If we don't win back our democracy, if we don't win back the right to choose whatever medical intervention we want or don't want, there's nobody who's going to rescue us.
Well, there are no good guys. Well, let's put it this way. That's not exactly true. It's just that the good guys are now scattered among the population. I would like to think that we're a couple of good guys who would fight to the death for what is right, because we believe in truth and what is right. But the idea of an allied force, we don't have a united allied force. We don't have a country that represents the good guys. I would argue that this nation is, in Lincoln's words, the last best hope of earth, that we need to return in this nation
exactly
to be who we're supposed to be. And then we are the good guys, and we've been the good guys many times.
But we also have a lot of warts.
Well, no, we've got more than warts. We have cancer.
Okay. Well, now it's metastasized.
Right.
But we've had it. And, you know, I have spent a lot of years bringing to the surface some of these underhanded things that happen in public health. I came to the conclusion that, you know, when they talk Black Lives Matter, no, in public health they absolutely don't matter. In public health, Black lives are expendable. They have been the target of some of the worst experiments, and Tuskegee was only one.
Only the beginning.
Yeah.
I want to get to what launched you on all of this, the death of your son. We just have 30 seconds left, but tell us the beginning of that and then in the next segment, because this is what launched you into medical activism.
Yeah, when my son came down with schizophrenia, I had to deal with the mental health system.
And this is 1970-something?
It's hard to go back.
Yep.
You know, we're ripping a lot of wounds open, and it was a long time, you know. I mean, he got sick last year in high school, really. But it went on for a long time. The point is, I had to make my way, you know, to learn. It's a horror. The mental health system is the worst part of public health.
I want to go into this. We have a final segment, and then we have to have you back. We'll be right back. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Final segment for today with Vera Sharov. Vera, you just said, you know, you're ripping open some old wounds. What launched you into medical activism and into all that you're now doing was the death of your teenage son.
It's before he died. I became active during his illness. And I received an article from the American Journal of Psychiatry, which was about an L-DOPA experiment on 28 veterans at the Bronx VA. And when I read the article, I couldn't believe it because I said, this is Nazi medicine. The article described how doctors took in these 28 veterans who had been living in the community. They were healthy at that point, but they had had schizophrenia and they were on various treatments. They took them off all their treatments, gave them L-DOPA, and sent them to the community to see how long it would take each one to have a psychotic relapse.
I don't know what L-DOPA is, except the dope.
L-DOPA is, okay, it's a drug. It's used in animal anesthetics, but it has the potential to cause psychosis.
Why would they do that?
Exactly. I sent the article to two psychiatrists that I knew, and I said, am I reading this right? And they said, yes. So that's how I began. I filed a complaint with the Federal Office of Human Research Protection. It took them 4 years to investigate and to corroborate that, yeah. But, of course, nobody went on trial. And four of those veterans became violent during the psychotic relapse. Well, now they had that on their record as well. Thank you to these doctors, academic doctors, and this was paid for by the National Institute of Mental Health. So that's how I began to delve into what else are they doing there.
So you studied art history, you studied library science,
yeah.
And then you get, as a mother, launched into this world.
Yeah.
And so this was the 70s?
It was, later, and I went into, in the 90s. I mean, I've been doing this for decades,
but yeah. I'm saying you got launched on it because of what your son suffered.
Oh, yeah, it was because of him.
Well,
I had to learn what to, how to get service and all that, and I realized that this was a pit. It was just terrible. And again, a lot of money is going into for bad treatment, bad house, bad everything.
We have a few minutes left today. Let me just ask you, you talk about parallels between what was happening back then and today. I know you spoke a bit this on Truth Over Fear with Patrick Coffin. What is your nutshell version of that?
That if you suspend your right to make decisions for yourself, your personal decisions, and what could be more personal than your body. And once you go along with deferring to authority, you're in big trouble because they do not have your best interest in mind. They can do a lot of harm, and they do. Much more harm has been done by public health than by any number of doctors. A doctor may be incompetent, may make mistakes, but how many people will they harm? Very few. But public health, with one swoop policy, you can kill hundreds of thousands. So no, you shouldn't trust. That's the worst thing. I mean, I know I'm in good company. Einstein said the foolish person who trusts authority, won't get at the truth.
Well, Reagan said, trust but verify,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You were talking about Cuomo earlier. Do you think he will be held to account? Where is that?
Well, it started to bubble, There was some talk about impeaching him. On top of it, throughout this thing, he also cut a book deal for $4 million.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he may wind up getting his upmanship, whatever you want to call it. I don't know that it'll be for that.
But even worse than killing millions of people,
yeah.
Somebody told me, and I don't even want to say this on the air, this is so evil, he kissed a woman at a wedding without her permission. Oh, my gosh. That's right out of the Third Reich.
Well, so, this is, you see, evil is, you have to.
I'm being sarcastic. He killed potentially thousands of people.
At least 15,000.
And this is what they focus on.
Yeah.
I mean.
I know.
Wow. How is it possible?
It's perverse.
Well, I think maybe you have to have journalists. Maybe somebody at the New York Post is going to be doing
they
this.
They are because, the ones.
Because honestly, no one should be able to get away with this in America.
I know.
In the 21st century.
I know. And it's public.
So
and
we've got a minute left. What can people do? What should people do?
People need to get really to drop the political labels.
Did you get the vaccine?
No.
No. Why wouldn't you get the vaccine?
Many years ago, a professor of physiology and everything else, an Irish woman at George Washington Hospital who worked with me, she told me the story. When she was asked about taking the flu vaccine, she said, "Why would I insult my immune system?"
Yeah.
Most people are not at risk of the coronavirus.
Right. Well, I wanted you to say that because tons of people, they look at you like you're crazy, and I'm thinking, no, I actually probably know a lot more than you do about it. We're out of time, Vera. God bless you. Thank you for being a brave voice. We will have to have you back because there's a lot more to talk about. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're back in South Dakota. Albin, Chris, I'm in South Dakota.
That is so wonderful. And by the way,
knows
Vera,
how this happened. I don't know why I'm here or actually, no, I forgot. It's Mike Lindell tonight. Mm-hmm. We are launching. It's called Frank Speech. It's this new social media platform. And Chris Himes, you know better than anybody that
yes,
it has been disastrous because people have hacked into it like crazy to try to disrupt it. He spent millions of dollars trying to prevent this stuff from happening. But what does it tell you? Why would people be hacking? And he's trying to uncover the fraud in the election.
Yeah.
And people are trying to shut him down. Why would that be? That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there are new rules now, and it's sort of like there are some topics you're not allowed to talk about or you get, you know, bamboo under your fingernails, digitally speaking. And
that's why we need to do everything we can to fight and to speak up. And it's why I'm launching frankspeech.com at the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota tonight. So I think at 6 p.m. Eastern it launches. But Joe Piscopo will be there. I'll be there. Mike Lindell will be there. What could possibly go wrong?
What can possibly go right? Everything. It's going to be great.
So, you know, Alvin, I kind of figured out why you're on this program. You, my friend, you bring the sexy.
Thank you. I'm the eye candy. Let's face facts.
People
it's not
Eric.
Eric.
You know what? You need to bring the sexy. That's what sells. And I said, why do you think I have Alvin? What's the matter with you?
Here I am.
Okay, so we've got to talk about a couple of important things. First of all, yesterday was Mother's Day, and I was in Danbury, Connecticut, where my mommy lives and my daddy. And we went to a church in Bethel called His Vineyard. The sermon is up. And I told a story from my book, Fish Out of Water, of how I came to faith, which is a miracle story. But I told another miracle story because it was Mother's Day. And it wasn't just Mother's Day. I was in Danbury yesterday on Mother's Day, 25 years ago, on Mother's Day in Danbury, Connecticut, I proposed to Suzanne.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And in October, we got married, and Bob's your uncle. Here we are.
Mm. And, that's a miracle.
I'm a grandfather five times over. But yeah. But seriously, this is true. This is a miracle story, and I want to tell this because technically today's Miracle Monday, and I've never told this story publicly. I don't think I have. But I told it yesterday at His Vineyard, and I thought today I should tell the story because this is a true story. I'm not making this one up. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right.
Go.
Do it.
Okay, I knew I wanted to propose to Suzanne. I wasn't sure when. Then finally, I figured it out. I said, I think I want to propose
on Mother's Day. That was the 12th of May in 1996. Fortunately, it was May 1996 when I made this decision. So I said, before I propose, this is like the most important thing I'm going to do in my life. I think I'm going to fast and pray for 2 days. People do that sometimes. I didn't go out in the desert. I didn't eat locusts and wild honey, but close enough. So
did you wear a hair shirt?
No, but I saw one online. But here's the issue. I fasted and prayed for 2 days. The second day of fasting and praying, my friends Rick and Barbara Vlaha came over to pray with me. And while we were praying, I had a vision, like a real bona fide vision. I don't mean like thoughts in my head. I mean like a flat out vision where you know it's a vision from God. And I've had a handful of these, and I don't know how to explain it any better than you would. It's a remarkable thing, but I've had a handful of them. I haven't had one in a while because of all the sin, but I can't talk about that. So seriously, I had a vision, and in the vision, before I had the vision, I got to tell you, I planned to say to Suzanne, oh, it's Mother's Day. Let's drive up together, because I lived in Connecticut, but I drove into the city. I would stay with a friend overnight. And then in the morning, I'd go to Redeemer Church to hear the Marxist ravings of Tim Keller. And I love Tim Keller, in case anybody's wondering. But I would go to church with Suzanne, and then we'd kind of spend the afternoon together, whatever. But I said, tomorrow, we're going to go to church, and then we're going to drive to Connecticut to my mom and dad's house. And because it's Mother's Day, okay? Now, my secret plan was I'm going to get her up there. We're going to see my parents. Then I'm going to take her for a walk in the woods and propose to her. This is right near my house, the cow pasture it's called, but there's no more cows there. And I'm going to propose to her there. Then I'm going to bring her back to my house and say to my mom and dad, here's my fiance, Suzanne. So that was the plan. Well, the second day of fasting, Barbara and Rick and I were praying, and I had a vision. And what was the vision? The vision was that I'm with Suzanne at my parents' house. I take her in the backyard to show her my father's gardens, because my father's a huge gardener, vegetables. And I show her my father's gardens. Then I walk her up the hill to the house, and I propose to her behind the house in the vision. So I was like flabbergasted. You know, a vision is as crazy to me as it is to anybody else, but it was clearly a vision from God. So I said to Rick and Barbara, hey guys, while we were praying, I had a vision. This is the vision. I was in my parents' backyard with Suzanne, and I proposed to her behind the house. And obviously God wants me to do that. That's amazing. And Barbara very rightly said, Eric, you can't really propose to her behind the house. Your parents are going to be in the house, like looking out the window. You need to be alone with her. And I said, you know what, Barbara, you're right. And that's good discernment, because I can't do that. But now I have a problem. Why did God give me this vision? Because I can't be there with my parents hovering. It's just wrong. So I said, I don't know what to do. And I said, Lord, you'll have to show me. But now I don't know what to do. So Sunday morning arrives. I'm at my friend's apartment in New York, his aunt's apartment. We were staying over at his aunt's apartment. There was nobody there. And the phone rings, and it's Suzanne. Suzanne says, Eric, your mother called me, and she said they're not going to be in Danbury today. Your sister-in-law, Gina, just went into labor. Your mom and dad are leaving Danbury now. They're going to the hospital in New Haven because they're going to be there for the birth on Mother's Day of their granddaughter, Melina. Mm. Y'all know Melina. You guys know Melina.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I realized God gave me a vision because the Lord knew that he would take my parents away so that I could propose to Suzanne behind the house and they would not be in the house. It was an insane thing. Wow. I will never, ever, ever forget it. God gives you a vision, but he doesn't tell you how he's going to fulfill it. And then on the day of, you get a phone call in the morning. Oh, by the way, your sister-in-law just went into labor. Your parents are leaving the house. So I took Suzanne to the house. I said, oh, my parents will be back soon. You know, they're at the hospital. Of course, that was a lie. And I showed her my father's gardens, just like in the vision. And I proposed to her behind the house. When we come back, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Don't go away. Folks, coming to you from South Dakota, There's highways and trucks here. I was wondering last night, what's going on out there? Just endless trucks. This is the interstate. And by the way, this is not a lie. In South Dakota, I saw it with my own eyes. The sign says speed limit 80.
Whoa. Wow.
80. Which means you can go 90 and the cops won't stop you. No kidding.
Okay. These are corn-fueled trucks too, right? They use the corn oil.
It's pure ethanol. I'm drinking ethanol right now. So listen, I'm in Mitchell, South Dakota tonight. FrankSpeech.com launches. You got to go to FrankSpeech.com and you'll see me, Joe Piscopo, and Mike Lindell. Just the three of us. We're winging it. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
It'll be the most comfortable viewing experience of your whole life.
Guaranteed.
Or your money back. Guaranteed.
Is it true that Mike Lindell has a prototype pillow cannon? He's actually going to launch pillows out of a giant howitzer?
That's right. He's going to blast them clean across the state to Mount Rushmore.
Woo-hoo.
And it's going to hit Jefferson right in the nose. All right, here's the issue, guys.
He deserves it.
I just shared a vision. Have you guys ever had a bona fide vision from God?
Yeah, I have.
I have twice. I have twice. And just for anybody who hasn't, it's almost like someone puts a VHS tape in your head and hits play and you're watching this thing. It's totally not from inside your brain.
That's sort of how I said it. I wouldn't say VHS tape because I'm not an 80s guy.
Maybe
I'm a
DVD.
70s guy. But seriously, both of you have had visions and I've had visions. This is a good moment for me to say, if you're walking with Jesus Christ, you can expect things like this. You don't know when it's going to happen. I can't make it happen, but it has happened to me. It has happened to you guys when you're praying or whatever it is. God communicates that way. It's a crazy thing, but I will never forget getting that phone call and thinking, this is a miracle. God knew when he gave me the vision a few days ago that my parents would not be in the house hovering and looking out the window, but he didn't tell me. He made me trust him. Don't you hate that? But he did. It's crazy. It's kind of like Mike Lindell says, Eric, tonight we're just going to wing it at the Corn Palace with thousands of people watching and millions watching online, frankspeech.com. What could possibly go wrong? Just trust me.
Right. Yeah. And use the code Eric.
Tommy.
Trust God and use the code Eric.
Yeah, exactly. That's right out of the scriptures. Okay. So yesterday in Bethel, Connecticut, who showed up to hear me preach there? Amanda Grace. We've had her on this program. She's has a prophetic ministry, and she was there with her husband, Chris. As you'll remember, he had a severe accident and problems, but it's interesting. Like, he's doing much better. I was so glad to meet him. What a sweet guy. People came from Laconia, New Hampshire. They drove down to hear me speak. That is too much for me to bear. I was so moved by that. I said, you've got to be kidding. I couldn't believe it. And it was true. And there were people who drove from far places in Connecticut. It's just interesting how sweet that is. And people read your book and they make a connection.
Well, so you yourself are quite a vision.
Thank you. By the way, guys, tonight when I'm at the Corn Palace, it's the world's only Corn Palace. Did you know that?
No. I thought it was one here in Tarrytown, but I guess that was...
Yeah, no, people think there's a lot of Corn Palaces. Turns out, no, there's only one. But I have to say this. I looked it up online, and what the Corn Palace is, it dates back like over 100 years, but every year they decorate it, this is no joke, with corn murals. They have 12 different colored corns, and they create murals like mosaics with the corn. I'm not making this up. Look it up online. And tonight, I'm sure we're going to run out of time. We got to remind you, Nutramedics.com. If you take vitamin D and you want to take it with vitamin K, you got to go to Nutramedics.com. Comes together in one pill. I take it. You got to use the code Eric. I also take Relax Medics, which puts you to sleep. It's just like a bullet to the head. You're out. And
good.
I think we're out of time. And Alvin, let me just say once again, the reason you're on this program, you, my friend, bring the sexy to this program. Okay, I think we're out of time. Tomorrow, I'm going to be with Mike Lindell on this program reviewing the disastrous night at the Corn Palace. So don't miss it.